Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Are you really crying, Jennifer, or is that something?
Yeah.
She's crying enough. Over Britney. Hardcore.
But hey, Jennifer, guess who this is? Yeah.
This is TLC, my new group.
Your new namesake, Left Eye Lucy.
I've always wanted to be in a girl band. I'm so
One Eye Jennifer is here. This is the Good Day program. I'm Doug Steffen with my friend One Eye Jen, two-eyed.
I can be a cowboy with that name.
But Jennifer doesn't mind being called Jen. Victoria does not like to be called Vicky or Vic.
I do not blame you.
No,
at all.
Victoria.
I like Jen, but I'm not real keen on Jenny. I used to be a Jenny in grade school.
Jenny's not you.
No.
Rich is a Rich, though. Rich is not a Richard. Rich is a Rich.
Definitely a Rich.
And I'm...
Although you've got me calling him Richie sometimes.
Richie.
Now.
Richie!
Yeah, I started doing Richie. Is that bad?
Well, that's because you call me Dougie.
I can't shake it.
I do call you Dougie.
Dougie.
But I'll remember not to say Vicky because I don't want to get in trouble.
Somebody just sent me a note and wanted to know more about what I was talking about, the Supreme Court vote and needed to be explained. Sorry, I didn't do a good job about that. The vote that they had was about voting districts and how they are drawn. If you go back to the 1960s.
One person, one vote.
Yeah, the U.S. started using one person, one vote. That means that every voting district has to have the same number of people. And so there have been gerrymanders and redistricting.
It counted for every person, man, woman, adult, child, baby.
States have included people who aren't eligible to vote, like prisoners and immigrants and children, that sort of thing, in the tally. The practice gives cities a lot of influence because a large number of those non-voting residents tend to live there, but they can't go to the polls. Meaning the voting power of those districts gets very skewed. Cities tend to vote blue. The Democrats love the one person, one vote practice.
And the side issue that I haven't heard a lot of people talking about is the reason that this was even being contested so heavily is because in the big cities, there are an issue of illegal immigrants and how you check to see about legal voting status. And so this was sort of a blow to the people
Texas.
That want to have voter IDs and that want to say, hey, one vote. Yeah, one person, one vote. But we want to make sure that it's a legal person. It makes it a little bit easier for illegals to be able to vote.
The Supreme Court said unanimously the practice was okay. So what Texas does is legal. I find this, what bothers me about this, and maybe what is the bigger picture here, the people who go to vote, I still am really kind of upset, more than upset. I get annoyed when I think about it. And the whole thing's been going on in Wisconsin as people go to the polls there. The fact that you don't have to have an ID in some states to vote, in other states you do, and the number of people who were in lines at the DMV yesterday to get an ID, what is so wrong about being able to prove who you are? I could be anybody. I walked into the polls last week to vote, local election. Thank heavens we had the largest turnout in recent memory locally here in Framingham. For some of the issues, mostly because of the town's not functioning and people want a charter commission. I went to the first meeting. What a very interesting thing to understand how the system works. Most people don't understand, and I'm going to spend just a second talking about this because I find it fascinating. And most people whose ears glaze over, and Jennifer, you can be the arbiter of this. When we get down to understanding how the system works and why it does, I mean, we have these problems here of understanding who can vote and how they vote and yada, yada, yada. But the Constitution of the United States, I did not realize, was modeled after the Massachusetts Constitution, which was the oldest constitution in the world. And most of the people who were signers, many of them came from Massachusetts. So Massachusetts had established itself as a state, and that's how they used it to put our Constitution together. But we're having a charter commission in Framingham. So I was watching or listening. I went to the meeting last night with my state rep, who's become quite a good friend. We wanted to listen to hear how they set the thing up. And it was really a terrific example of how the process works. And more people ought to realize that there is this power that you all have. We really do. We don't take it. We've been talked out of it. Or for some reason or another, we just don't exercise our role. But there's, and maybe we wait till there's so many things that are wrong. Maybe that's why Trump and Sanders are getting the attention they are. And the primary voting is much larger than it was 8 years ago, for example, because people are stirred up for whatever the reason. They're either for or against, but they're stirred up. And that's what happened locally in Framingham. So people got so stirred up about how basically non-functional the government is there, want to do something about it. And so you can carry that to the state level. You can carry it to the national level. And you just see that we do have a process that's very exciting if we just know how to use it. And even though I've been discouraged because I think the government has done a lot to try to keep us from learning how or passing on how it is the government works so we can use it to have what we want or what we're supposed to have or what we're entitled to. Hello, one nation created equal, yada, yada. We don't have that. So in this circumstance, this ruling, to go back to the ruling from the Supreme Court, it's a loss for right-wing voters who are trying to challenge the status quo for drawing districts. The Democrats thought that it, it's good for them. But people don't understand how come it was a vote that was 8-0. It was because it's clearly constitutional. So if, and that's what they're there for. They're there to decide whether what's in right. black and white. And if you don't like it, then you have a constitutional convention, basically like we're doing in the town
and
of Framingham. You
sure.
do a national thing and you change it. That's what you do. That's what the government is all about. That's what a lot of people like the Koch brothers want to talk you out of being able to do that. But you have the right to do it. So let's
too few people know that they have the right to
right.
do that, though. And
that's
exactly the
point.
The problem.
Yeah,
well,
that's the point.
Let me tell you something. Between one person, one vote, between the Electoral College, between voter ID laws and redistricting, we're all being had.
Yes, we are.
Well,
you
and
are
that's
correct.
What Doug
it's
brings
so
up a good
corrupt.
Point, is yep. that people are waking up to that finally. That's what I think invigorates me most about this election cycle, whether it's the Bernie Sanders fans or the Trump fans. People like to be part of a movement. And I think finally, we're kind of out of that bubble that I do believe started when Kennedy got shot and it started to trickle down into the young people finally today, who are now like, maybe the government isn't always working in our best interest. Maybe we can challenge things. Now, what our responsibility is, I think, is to make sure that people know how to change things. Because when they don't, then you get the groups like Black Lives Matter, you get all these protester groups who just go out kind of either peacefully protesting or wreaking havoc, and they're not really making change.
Yeah, it's just noise. Right. Okay, I want to talk about something that yesterday was announced, and not a lot of people. I'm pretty smart about this.
If I do say so myself.
But I really am. Okay, calm down.
Come on, I love you.
I know. I love you, too. And I missed you. I'm glad you're back. The Alaska Air Group buying Virgin America. What I said yesterday, more holes today than it did yesterday, especially when I understanding how this all this is sort of a very interesting story based on human dynamics. Virgin is a proprietary trademark that belongs to Richard Branson. Richard Branson is not an American. He invested and put the major amount of money to start Virgin America. He has Virgin Australia, Virgin Atlantic. He's built an empire around the airline business. And so he only, though, because of U.S. law, could own 40%, even though he put the most money in, he could only own 40% of the stock. So he was outvoted by the 60%. There are four other people. There were former airline people in America, like Carty used to run American Airlines. And so there were five people on the board. Branson was the only non-American. And so Alaska Airlines and JetBlue started making noise about wanting to buy out Virgin America. And Branson says, no. And I would if I were him, too. He made a $700 million payday, but it waters down his brand. Virgin America fed Virgin Atlantic, fed Virgin Australia. That's what airlines need to do. So because the other members of the board, they're all people who had money, not much invested. It was mostly Branson's cash, but the other people ran it. So they argue, okay, well, we did a good job of running this airline. We got people that want to pay us a couple of $1 billion. We want to cash out. So Branson gets $786 million. which now he's worth $5 billion. This guy's worth $5 billion. But his stake, and by the way, he put $300 million into it, so he doubles what he put into it. But what he realizes are two things. One, Virgin America will cease to appear and operate, and Alaska Airlines has their service is not even close to being what Virgin's is. So the people who, you know, I mean, they'll run their Alaska Airlines planes in and out of the hubs where Virgin has been, but it says Alaska on the plane. It isn't going to say Virgin America. And so who's going to care? Alaska is just another airline. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not
a good. And most people that don't fly that often don't care.
No, and they don't. And you're right about that. But yet there's not really anything Alaska could have, in a sense, and so could any of the others, gone in and done something in the hub to create an ambiance if they had a name that had class attached. The reason Virgin America did well is because of the service that they
offered. It was a great experience.
It's a great airline. Now it's gone. Alaska's not going to do what Virgin did.
I would always try to fly on Virgin if I was going across the country.
Could Alaska, theoretically, could Alaska even afford to keep up that level of service now that they've paid all this money to acquire it?
That's a very good question in and of itself.
And what I'd like to know? So Alaska's famous for their $50 upgrades. I've cashed in on them a couple of times.
Have you?
I wonder if they do it on the Virgin Atlantic planes, because those first class seats are nice. They have
much better
chairs.
Yeah, there's a lot of leg room on a Virgin flight.
I don't fly Alaska that much because they don't go where I go. Mostly I'm an east-west guy, and so I
if you do
American.
Short legs on Alaska, here's a little tip for you guys. You go to the counter, 24, or you can call 24 hours in advance. They do $50 upgrades. I think on the long haul it might be like $150.
Yeah, I just did Portland to Palm Springs on Alaska.
You want to do that on American, cost you $500.
Yeah. No, truly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, one other thing. The flight attendant that jumped out of the plane, what the heck is that all about?
I don't know. She pulled the rescue chute, threw her luggage on the tarmac, and jumped on out while there was a medical emergency going on the plane, and nobody seems to know why she did it. But if you see the video, it's pretty blurry. She was obviously having fun with it. Like, I'm out of here. See ya. So it should be interesting to see
her, right? They fired her.
Can I make a true confession?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe this is too much. But you know how sometimes when you're driving over, well, at least for me in the big city in LA, when I'm on a freeway overpass, I go, God, I hope that I don't go crazy at this exact moment so I don't drive myself off the freeway. Have you ever had that moment when you're driving?
No, I haven't, but I know what you're talking about.
My arm itches when I'm on an airplane so badly. I so want to pull the darn slide. Not when we're in the air, because that would just be crazy.
This
I don't have a death
I
wish.
Love you.
But on the ground, I so just want to go and just jump out
because
of the plane
what?
And just go
be the
for
guy
it.
That would pull.
It looks fun. I want to go down that slide.
But I would jump out with you.
Would you see? You go,
a
right?
Heartbeat. Yeah.
I'd raid the mini bar and then pull the chute.
like that JetBlue guy did.
Yeah. There was a period of time for 3 or 4 years when planes were being detained on the tarmac. Hours.
I was trapped on one. Remember when I broke up your last relationship? I was on a plane for 8 hours.
Stop. Tell Victoria.
wait. The story you were on the plane with someone you just broke up with.
No.
I broke up. Doug's
this is a great story, Victoria.
All right. So before Doug hired me 10 years ago, now by the way, he used to have a habit of dating his co-hosts. Okay, Doug and I have never dated. I love Doug, but you know. I'm sitting there and I'm stuck. And so I write, stuck on the tarmac, 5 hours and counting, thinking of you, right?
Because we just talked about being stuck on a tarmac.
Okay. So weeks and weeks go by. Doug never mentions it. I'm home. I forget about it. And it was like a holiday, maybe Veterans Day or something. And we would typically run a best of in the last hour of the show on holiday. So I do my 3 hours with Doug. I go back to bed, enjoying this great little nap. And all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up at 7 a.m. morning, and it's this woman going, who is this? And I said, it's Jennifer. Who is this? And it was Doug's girlfriend who found the text message that he had never seen in his phone, and she thought something was going on, or that I had the hots for Dougie.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so it was easily explained away, but then
Doug feel bad about it,
but then Doug was upset that she didn't trust him. So and it was over.
49 past the hour, I did that.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like an easy way to increase your smarts and maybe even predict the future? Well, this trick may not turn you into a Nostradamus, but here's the science of it. So you've heard the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you read, too. For instance, it's a widely known fact that reading romance novels improves your love life. But what's known about those who prefer science fiction? Well, it makes you smarter. All booksellers agree that science fiction readers tend to be better educated. And if you catch yourself thinking and reading about the future, you might just find yourself better able to predict it. What's the cheap psychological trick? Reading science fiction is akin to studying rocket science. Your smarts will achieve greater liftoff. Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Today on App Check, food spotting rates dishes, not restaurants. It's a social database of pictures of food with user comments. And it actually works.
Cool.
Food spotting. It's a hit.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Think green.
Harrison with you. What used to be a quality of water fit only for golf courses and interstate parkways may be the new normal for parts of Texas. Wastewater, or more politely called reclaimed water, will double in the next number of years and likely surpass never-before-touched clean water. The Texas government plans to blend treated effluent with what they're calling more natural waters to supplant the ongoing drought considered a result of expanding man-made climate change. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star was a potent scorer for the Dallas Mavericks in the 1980s. He scored 17,000 points in his 13 NBA seasons, making him the Mavs' second all-time leading scorer.
Blackman drives, Bowie is there, Blackman scores anyway.
So where is Rolando Blackman now? Rolando played three seasons in Europe in the mid-90s before finally retiring. He's currently an assistant coach with the Turkish national team and helped lead them to a silver medal in the 2010 World Championships. Rolando rejoined the Mavericks in 2005 and is currently the team's director of basketball development.
You've got to make sure and understand what the talent pool is all about and keep an eye on who's coming, who's playing, and who can really help your team to win.
Sounds like Mark Cuban owes somebody a raise. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.